morning, Rabbi Sai. Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Yud Beis, Pasik Tes. Okay, we're up to Pasik Tes. Perek Yud Beis, Pasik Tes. The Yaser Shehayu Kehelas Chacham, in addition, or more than his quality, his greatness of being a wise man, Od Limei Das Esam. He was a teacher. This was his greatest praise. He was a teacher. Limei Das Esam. The Izein V'Chiker Tikein Mishalim Harbe. He was Izein. Izein means, to we'll see in the Metzilus, means he gave the Torah handles. An Izein, an Ozen, on a pot as a handle. Chiker, he investigated. Tikein, what in the world is that? What?
Baby gates. You guys don't run out of
No one should leave. Run away from the shir. To keep everyone in the... Okay. The Ezein...
It's the partition table.
The Ezein, the Chikar, the Tikar, the
You are tired, man.
It rolls right
off. You are tired now.
It rolls right off. I didn't hear what he said.
Okay. Izein v'chiker tikein mishalem harbe. Okay, let's see the Mitzudos Pasik test. V'yoyser, okay, v'yoyser, yoyser v'mashach ha'yukahelis chacham ba'atzma. More than he was wise, he retained the chachma for himself. Od ha'yubo ma'ala yisera, ki li meidaz esa'am. He would teach, he would give over his wisdom. He would make others wise. The Mitzvah says something very important, is that when it comes to Chachma, the goal is not to keep the Chachma for yourself, the goal is to share the wealth.
You gotta do it, otherwise people don't know you're a Chachma.
It's for your own good. Like we said, the Tzaddik Nistar, such a Nistar, even the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't know he's a Tzaddik. Okay, so in Echanami over here, the goal is not to keep the Chachma for yourself, it's to give to others. Ner le'echad, ner le'meya. When it comes to mammon, money, if I give you my money, I can't spend the money. But when it comes to Chachma, there is no harm whatsoever in giving of your Chachma to other people. Okay, that's the Yisod number one. Izen, what is it? Hayamazim lohem divrei Chachma. The word ozen is a play on the word of to listen. He would cause others to listen. Okay, I told you another interpretation. It means he would create handles. That's what Rashi says. But you look in the Mitzudos, look in the Mitzudos Tzio, and he translates with ozen meloshon hazana ushmiya, to listen, hearken. Kimo hazinu hashamayim va'adabera. So here we're using it in the form of the hifl form, to cause other people to listen. He was an orator. He was a speaker, a public speaker. He did not shy away from public speaking. He had a silver tongue. Lahavin lizulas, to explain, to elucidate difficult matters to other people. Not everyone has a tremendous gift. How many people do you know have the koyach to explain something without repeating themselves a million times in a few words, and to make something very clear? It's a very great gift. The chiker, hoira drachim la'am. What is when chiker? He translates here to mean hoira instruction, drachim la'am, lachkor bohem ha'chachma. So he's really saying quite a mouthful here, this Mitzudos. The Mitzudos Tzion doesn't even give it a translation. Chiker normally means to investigate, but here we're also using it in the hifil form. He caused other people to investigate matters of chachma. That's a tremendous koyach, to inspire people. It's one thing to give a shir. Okay, you give a shir, so the people, if you have a koyach hasbara, when the shir is over, they'll say, what did you learn today? I learned A, B, and C. Go home, tell your wife, this is what we learned in the kollel. But if you can go home and you can say, wow, I was so inspired, I'm going to spend the rest of the day doing further research on this topic. I don't want to eat lunch, I don't want to eat dinner, I just want to go into the library and delve into this matter. That's over the top. Okay, that's to inspire the listeners, not just to have a good time, but to go home and further investigate the matters of Chachma. This is, like I said, over the top. That's the koyach of Shlomo HaMelech. Chiker, hoire drachim la'am, lachkor bohem chachma. He taught ways for the people to further investigate Chachma. Tikain also the Chibur Mishalom Harbe. He established many different proverbs. Kamoshenemar Vayidaber Shloishes Alafim. The end of Sefer Mishle. It says that he established 3,000 Mishalom. He wrote Sefer Mishle. Okay, so this is the interpretation of the Mitzudos to review. In addition to Shlomo Koheles, who is Shlomo being a Chacham, he also did not keep the Chachma for himself. He taught. Esa'am, he had a koyach hazvara. Izain, he caused them to hear. Chiker, he caused them to investigate. Tikain, he established Mishalim Harbe to make it easy to understand based upon Sefer Mishlei, the Shloishas, the 3,000 Mishalim. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk tes, v'yoseh shohoyu koheles chacham, v'yoseh b'mash shenichta b'sefer zeh hoyu koheles chacham. An entirely different interpretation. Rashi learns that don't think that this Sefer, Sefer Koheles, and I guess he means Sefer Koheles with Sefer Mishlei and Sefer Shir HaShirim, don't think this is the total sum of his knowledge. Shlomo HaMelech was a lot wiser than anything that you will read in Sefer Koheles, Sefer Mishlei, Sefer Shir HaShirim, these three Megillos. There is more. Don't be misled to think this represents the totality of his chachma. The yoyse b'masha nichta b'sefer zeh hoya koheles chacham. The izain, what does it mean? Izain, not like Rashi that he caused other people to hear. It means osa oznayim la Torah. That's the name of the sefer, of the famous sefer of Zalman Sorotskin. Zalman Sorotskin, a classic five-volume sefer on Chumash called Oznayim la Torah. Is it five volumes? I think it's five volumes. Chamisha Chum Shatara. It's a fantastic, fantastic classic sefer. And Oznayim L'Tara, a handle on Torah. Kikupa Zo, like a box. She'ein lo Oznayim L'Echoizba. If you have a very large box and there are no handles, how are you going to pick it up? Uvava Osala Oznayim. Likewise, the Torah can be for the common man a bit difficult to grasp, to penetrate, to take hold of. And therefore, he created these svarim, gave us a person approach, a guide for the Torah, in order for a person to have a connection, to be able to take hold of the profundity of Torah. Ubava asala aznayim shatikin. Now he gives different examples. Now he really elaborates. Number one, three examples Rashi gives: shatikin eruvim l'sayag shmirah Shabbos. His contribution was Eruvin. You're not allowed, well, Eruvin can mean multiple things. Either it means Eruv Techumen, you're not allowed to walk more than 2,000 Amos, but by putting down bread at the boundary, you can walk for 4,000 Amos, or we can refer to Eruv Echatzeros in a Rishos HaYochid, in a courtyard that has multiple batim. You're not allowed to carry from the bayis to the courtyard, but if you have an Eruv Echatzeros, everyone is joined together as one big family. Or even that's Eruvin, Shetufim of Eruv Echatzeros and Shetufim of Os. And v'tikon netilas yodayim siyag l'tohara, to wash netilas yodayim before you eat bread. This was really for kohanim. Kohanim are not a kohanim shtam yodayim shniyos. A person, if he's not careful where he moves his hands, he may touch part of the body which makes his hands unclean. Chazal therefore put upon a person a din shniyos. A person's hands are a sheni, and if a sheni touches truma, the truma becomes a shlishi. So therefore, a kohen is not allowed to touch bread truma unless he first washes his hands. And if this halacha would only apply to kohanim, it would not be observed, because kohanim is only a very small percentage of the population. So in order to be mechazek the requirement for kohanim to wash their hands, he instituted that everyone must wash their hands before they touch bread, if the purpose of touching the bread is for eating purposes. Okay, so therefore now that also has become an inyan of svetahara, that's an additional tsyog. And then the third thing is al shniyos siyag l'arayos. Good morning. And various women a person may not marry as a safeguard, that a person should not be nichshel in marrying one of the 36 women or one of the close relatives, like marrying a grandmother, a granddaughter, different types of aunts. Shnios means secondary women. Menatara, there are certain women.
Misach to Yadayim?
The hands. Yeah, that's Masechta Yadayim, but Arayos, Masechta Yevamos, and Yevamos is the whole end of the Masechta Yevamos, the parak of the Shniyos, all the various Mishnayos, various collection of women which Minat Torah Mutar but Midrabbanan, a person may not marry because he may come feel this is Siyog. Now I'm just throwing out an idea. I can't figure out what this means. Rashi is giving here three examples. I saw a difference from. They try to explain the same idea, but to me it doesn't. I can't grasp it. So just throw out the idea. Why specifically these three? So someone wanted to suggest Shlomo HaMelech committed three major averos. He married more than 18 wives. He had too much wealth. He gathered for himself too much wealth, and he had too many horses. So to correspond, here's the part that I don't get, to correspond to these three sins that he personally was nichshol in, he established these three safeguards. Now obviously the safeguard of Arayos, you would say, represents his wives. But the other two, I've seen different attempts to explain the significance, the connection between Tahara and horses, and Erevin. So you want to say that a horse, that horse, the koyach of a horse is to travel far distances. So Eruvim is Eruvei Techumin, represents the concept of not traveling more than 2,000 amos unless you put down bread, because Minatari you can really carry up to Yud Beis Mil. Yud Beis Mil is an enormous distance. Midrabanan, you're not letting walk more than 2,000 amos. But if you'll put down Erev Chatzeres, you can walk 4,000 amos. So that possibly corresponds to the prohibition of not having too many horses. Because the goal of a horse is to travel. A goal of a horse is to travel far distances. Now the third one is a bit more difficult, not having too much wealth. Not having too much wealth, maybe not so complicated, is Netilas Yodayim. Because when a person engages in business, your hands get greedy. Maybe that's what it really means. When you start becoming successful in business, Mi Sheyesh Loimone Reitze Mosayim, and you have a tendency to extend your hands in places that they don't belong. A person is very, very wealthy, and you become very powerful, and you have $1 million, and for me to get another $1 million, I may have to do something that's a bit unethical. Faced with a dilemma of doing things that are not 100% ethical in business. So that means wash your hands. Wash your hands, make sure your hands are clean. The hands are the symbol of collecting wealth. So like maybe this really, let's review. What we're trying to say is Rashi here is telling us that Shlomo HaMelech, his claim to fame is, he gets credit for instituting three takonos in Klal Yisrael. You'll see it come on to review. Shnius Larayos, Netilas Yodayim, and Erevin. And laws of Erevin. The laws of Erevin were suggesting Shlomo HaMelech personally, on a personal level, committed three averos. He married too many women, he had too much wealth, and he had too many horses. To correspond to the horses, he was misaken Erevin. Erevin represents the concept, don't travel too far. On Shabbos, you're limited. The whole week, you should connect yourself to the Kiddush of Shabbos and limit your travels. Again, yeah, of course, it's all very symbolic. What exactly that means, yeah?
I'm thinking maybe there's another common denominator of these three tefanos.
Yeah.
And all three of them involve twos.
What do you mean, twos? Okay.
The second level of shnios, the second level of forbidden relations.
Okay.
The 2,000 amos.
Two, okay.
And the washing one's hands.
Two hands.
And that links to Oznayim LaTorah, which is a pair.
Pair, okay, very nice. So you want to say the reason why Dafka Oznayim is because Oznayim have two, typically there are two handles, not all the time. Okay, but in a big pot, you have two handles.
Oznaim,
it's Loshen Rabin. Oizen, here, Ezen. Okay, it's an idea. I hear what you're saying. It's an idea. You want to say that it's two, these things have in common too. Okay, but we want to suggest also that these three things correspond to the three personal sins of Shlomo. He made takonis, to misakin, Arayos, too many wives. He was misakin, Shnius Larayos. Kneged, the traveling too far, the horses. He was misakin, Eruve Techumen, that you're not allowed to travel on Shabbos at a great distance. And Kneged, having too much wealth. make sure your hands are clean in business. You have clean hands. Do not engage in any unethical conduct. Yeah.
My father in one of the Sfarim wrote down Lashem Aritzim Loyoy.
Yeah.
And then he put down his name. Samti Yashmi, he put down his name. If he Yeshnam Bnei Yodom She'ein Hoch and Dalar Abbas Bali Matilas
Yadoy. Ooh. Netilas Yadayim. People take things that don't belong to them. So this supports the idea that Netilas Yadayim is business. It's a mashal. When you wash your hands, make sure the bread. Make sure the bread that you're eating, before you come to eat the bread, who paid for the bread? How did you get a hold of this loaf of bread? Did you earn it? Honestly, ethically, wash your hands. You wash your hands, it's a reminder, make sure the money is ethical.
Let me ask you, who says this pshat?
So I'm extrapolating upon on other commentators. So other commentators, they struggle. Why did Shlomo Melech dafka these three? And the obvious thing is, well, Shlomo did three averos, all of the Tanakh. We're always coming back to those three sins. Which ones correspond to which is not really clear. So this is our idea. We're trying to explain how the three correspond to each other. Okay, now let's see the Targum first. Targum Pasuk Tes. The Targum says, V'yatir min kol b'nei enosha. Shlomo was greater than all other men. Now that's a very interesting statement. Very different than Rashi and the Mitzudos. Let's review. According to the Mitzudos, V'yoser means Shlomo did not just keep the Chochmah for himself. In addition to keeping in himself being wise, he shared. He knew how to share his wisdom with others. Rashi says, V'yoser, don't think that this Sefer captures the sum of his knowledge. There's more. There was more knowledge that was in his head than he put on paper. The Targum says, Yosef, comparing Shlomo to other men. There is Shlomo, and there is the rest of humanity. So the Yosef, the Yatir min kol b'nei enosho hava Shlomo, the miskiri koheles chakim. Don't be confused here. When it says koheles, we are referring to Shlomo Hamelach. Because we touched upon this yesterday. Some of the other commentators said the word Koheles refers to the Shechina. We're not referring necessarily to the man Shlomo. It's the Shechina. The Shechina here is summarizing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Yoyishoya Koheles Chacham. I don't know if that was the hay of the previous pasuk. I'm sorry, but maybe he refers to someone else. Being that these psukim are not necessarily part of the sefer, you may be misled to think that it refers to someone else. The Targum makes it very clear that we're referring here to Shlomo, who was called Koheles. In addition, the suv hava ma'aleif manda'a. What the other thing that he did besides, that he did more so than other people, was he taught. He was the greatest teacher. The suv, in addition, hava me'aleif mande'a, he taught. Other people did not exert themselves to teach to the degree that Shlomo taught. Shlomo HaMelech went out of his way to give speeches, to give shiurim, to go out to the people and to teach. Other people said, what do I need this for? I'm not being paid, I'm tired, I don't have to teach. He went further. And what else did he do? Yos, I'm a base Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. That says, l'kol chakimayo. And he listened. Now here he translates it very different than Rashi. He listened. Shlomo was a listener. If we remember, the Mitzudos said the Izein should be interpreted in the Hifl form. He caused other people to listen. He spoke, and others listened. According to the Targum, no. Shlomo HaMelech was a good listener. You always hear this bit of Musar, good morning. This bit of Musar that a person, that you have to spend most of your time listening. In fact, I read recently an article that if you're in business, the rule should be 80-20. 80% of the time you should be listening, and 20% of the time in the conversation you should be talking. You gain a lot more from listening than from talking. He was a listener. What else did he do? Besides that, says l'kol chakimai, he listened to the chachamim. Uvelash b'sifrei chochmesa, he searched. Chikar means, doesn't mean like we translated until now that he investigated knowledge or he caused other people to investigate, to do study. He went to the library. He sat in the library the entire day searching through books of Chachma. What kind of libraries did they have in those days? We don't know. All those books have been lost. There must have been some philosophers, some wise men from other nations. He searched Uvelash B'Sifrei Chachmasa, and then when it says here, and Tikain, this something spiritual, Uveruach Nevua Min Kodom Hashem, and through a Holy Spirit of prophecy, Takein Sifrei Chachmasa, he established, he authored, he composed books of knowledge. Umaslin disuchle sonu sagin lechada, and mishalim maslin means mishalim of seichel. Umaslin disuchle sonu mishalim of wisdom, not just parables nonsense. He had the parables were parables of wisdom. Sagin lechada. Very, very many. That's the word harbe, many. Okay, so let's review the pasuk again according to the parish of the Targum. It's a very, very fascinating translation, very different than what you would expect. The Yoiser, more than other people. If you would compare Shlomo to the common man, or even to the greatest of all other men, you would know, you would take note that he spent most of his time delivering Shiurim. Okay, he had the record. I know that on the YUTorah.org website, Mr. Weiss tells me they have certain celebrities there, have their competition, who can have the most shiurim. Yeah. So far the winner is Leber Leibowitz. He has already 5,000 shiurim. Rav Herschel Schachter has 3,000 shiurim. Right, this competition going on between, they made a big party when he got to 3,000. When he got to 3,000, they made a big party. His balabatim got together. Now he's already up to 5,000 shiurim. He's a young fellow, Ari Leibowitz. In where is he? Lawrence. Or Lawrence.
He's only 5,000. Teaching DRS. My grandson goes there.
So he was from all men. He got the award of Herschel Schacht has over 3,000 shiur, and some other people they also have like 1,000. Rakefet has over 1,000. So Shlomo, if he would have been in the competition, he would have won. He would have won. That's how the Targum learned Pshat in the word V'yoser. He had more shiurim to the tzibur than the common man. The Yoiser Shoya Kolas Chacham, Ode Li Meidas. That was his claim to fame. He was a teacher more than other people. Esam the people. And what else did he do? Very unique. The Izain. He was a great listener. When you went to his court, he listened to you. What do you have to say? He didn't talk. The Chiker. Chiker means he spent his days in the library. Busy person, giving shiurim, listening to everyone's baba maises, and he had time to go to the library to do research. Who could pull all this? This is a feat. And then when it says tikain here, the Targum, he waxes prophetic. He says that now he ruach hakodesh. Wax, eloquent.
Oh, poetic.
No, so I said prophetic. Prophetic. That was my coined expression. he went and he Ruach HaKodesh. Here is where the Targum adds. He adds, injects into the pasuk with koich of Ruach HaTorah, of Ruach HaKodesh. Tikei Mesholim Harbe. His Mesholim are not just Stam Baba Mises. His Mesholim are all written al pi Ruach HaKodesh. So we have over here so far three very different interpretations of this very beautiful pasuk. Okay, now before we go further, there is one thing which no one says this, but I think it's Devar Mshutim, and you hear this all the time about different Gedolei Yisrael, is what they wanted to be remembered for is a teacher. That's all of their great qualities, their great successes in life. What they really cherish, they cherish is the koyach of being a teacher. And that's really that's the very simple translation of the pasuk. And that's not, none of the commentators say that. The Yoiser Shoya Koheles Chacham, in addition to Koheles being a scholar, he had he had a multiple postdoctorates, and he received he received at every graduation in the country, he received an honorary doctorate from every university in the world. He was a scholar par excellence, but yet, what did he want them to write on his matseva? What do I want to be remembered? As a teacher, as a Rebbe, a Malamed, a simple Malamed with my Talmidim and the Cheder. That's the way I wanted to be remembered. You hear this about many great people. Many great people, their accomplishments are Noiru V'Oyim. But they felt that the Iker Tafke they had in life was to teach simple things to Talmidim. Yeah?
The Rebbe children referred to Rebbe Chanan as the Malamed.
The Malamed. Interesting. Okay, it's a very fascinating thing. I think this is the simplest translation, but no one says this, at least not on the page, not from the commentators. Od lima das esam. This is what he considered to be his ultimate accomplishment. More than being a chacham, he was a teacher. He gave over to his talmidim. Then you can learn, like all the commentators, either to cause them to listen, or to listen himself, or to izen Rashi to make us naim l'Torah. Okay, I saw beautiful Rashi Tevos. This is something which gave me a nice bolt. We have a very calm, very popular expression, Chazal, Emor la Chochma achoisiat. Say to Chochma, you are my sister. This is the expression Chazal used to describe the degree of knowledge a person has to absorb. Emor la Chochma, say to Chochma, Chochma achoisiat, you are my sister. There are many interpretations. I think the most popular interpretation is that just like every Tom, Dick, and Harry, the simplest person knows that you're not allowed to marry your sister. If you want to talk, take one halach in Shulchan Aruch that every single person, b'li yoitz min haklal, knows, clear as day, that you're not allowed, a person is not allowed to marry their sister. That's the halacha. Everything else in Torah should be on that same level. A person should be able to say about every detail, just like I know you're not allowed to marry your sister, you can ask me the most complex question in Hilchos Basa B'Cholof. A pot and a little drop of milk fell on a spoon, went into the pot, and it went over here, went over there, and there was this meat in the pot, and this and that. The most complex shaila you should be able to answer without skipping a beat. Paskin the halacha, this is the halacha. Just like you know, without skipping a beat, that a sister is forbidden. Emor la chokma achoisiat. So the word achois, Aleph Ches Vav Tov, is an acronym for Chiker, is Izein Aleph Chiker and Vit, oh Izein Vitikin Vav, and I guess, yeah, the Vav and the Tov Vitikin. I didn't realize it was out of order. I thought it was in order. So now the whole word is a little bit dulled. It's been dulled down. But it's those three words. These three are the code words of Chachma. Izein, Chiker, and Tikein. Achois is Izein Aleph. Ches is Chiker. Vitikein. Vitikein and establish. You do that. Sometimes the last word you add a vav. Vitikein. It's not so uncommon. Only difficulty I'm realizing now is that it's not in order.
Achois is also the same.
Achois, what?
Achois itself.
Achois itself.
Is there
chiker v'tikein? Right.
Achois.
Achois. That's exactly what I said. Achois.
Using the vav. Without the vav.
Meaning you don't have to have the vav, because achois you can spell it chaser. You don't need the vav. Achois. You don't need the vav. Izein chiker emor la chochma achoisiat. Torah is supposed to be your sister. What is the achois? Izein chiker. Tikein. This is the Rosh Tevos. This represents the totality of Chochmah, because Shlomo was the Chochmah Mikol HaAdam, and when Shlomo described himself as what is the Maila of Chochmah, he said, Yoizesh Hayuch Kolos Chacham, Oyli Meidas Esam, Izen Chiker Tikein Mishalim Harbe. Very, I think it's a very nice summary way to remember these expressions. Now, other commentators say something, another very nice idea, that these three words, Izen Chiker Tikein, refer to the three books that Shlomo HaMelech composed. The first book he composed is Sefer Shir HaShirim. What do you do with regard to song? You listen. You go to a concert. The most important organ you need when you go to a concert is a good set of ears. Make sure you go first to the doctor, eye, ears, and know what's called ENT, to clean out the wax in your ears before you go to a concert. Ezein. What?
Otolaryngologist.
Okay, whatever that is.
You
go to the end, so therefore that's the easing, the Shir HaShirim, the song of songs, a song you have to listen to. Chiker is Koheles. Because in Koheles he was Chiker, the greatest dilemmas of the world. That's what Sefer Koheles is all about. And Tikein Mishalom Harbe obviously refers to Mishlei. So these three expressions really are alluding to the three books which Shlomo HaMelech himself composed. Okay. Let's go now to the next pasuk. I think I got everything I wanted to say. Okay, Pasuk Yud begins, Bikeish Koheles Limso Divrei Chayfetz V'chosuv Yosher Divrei Emes. He sought to find words of Chayfetz. We had many times with Chayfetz, probably the second most popular word in the Sefer. Hevel and Chayfetz. Chayfetz either means Ratzoin, or it means an object. But Divrei words, but we'll see in a moment, V'chosuv, and to write Yosher, uprightness, divrei emes, words of truth. Three different expressions: chayfetz, yosher, and emes. Let's see what it says in the mitzvahs. Pasuk Yud, bigesh koheles kol hadavarim shayachovetz ledatam hoy mevakesh lumsosam. All of the things that he wanted, everything that he wanted to know, hoy mevakesh lumsosam. He sought. He would seek to find them. Ki hoy matriach atzmai lamod al emes. He troubled himself to come to the truth. So whatever he wanted to find, he exerted himself. The chos of Yosher, gam hoy mevakesh also. So when it says in the second part of the pasuk, the chos of Yosher, this you have to add a word, gam. In addition, hoy mevakesh mechapes, he would seek kesivas Yosher mibli oil. He would seek oval without oval corruption. Mibli not oval without corruption. To seek the word, to seek uprightness, v'divrei emes mibli hato, words of truth without any mistake, umehem hiskil masha hiskil, and from that he understood what he understood. So the Matuda is not saying all that much, just saying that there are three things he sought. He sought yosher, he sought emes, and only two things. I'm sorry, two things. All things which he wanted to know, he would search for. And what did he search for? He searched for MS and Yosher. MS without any corruption, Ovel, and MS without any mistake. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud, Bikesh Koheles.
What is the difference between Yosher and MS?
What's the difference between Yosher and MS? Good question. I really don't know. Does the David say anything? Tzion? No, he doesn't say. I really don't know. What's the difference between Yosher and Emes?
Justice and truth.
I don't know. I didn't come across anything.
What about in English, justice and truth?
Justice and truth. So what's the difference between justice and truth? Let's ask that question. What's the difference?
Yeah, justice without truth.
I don't know. Yosher without Ovel and Emes Mibli Hato'ah. Tough question. I don't know. Say Chumash Bereishis. Yeah. Chumash Bereishis is called Sefer Hayosha, right? That we have Sefer Hayosha. The ovos are the Yesharim.
There's no real halachas. It's a derech.
It's a derech life. of Yashrus. And MS is what? What's MS then? MS is a mitzius. It's a reality. Yosher, he's saying, is the practice of truth. Is that what you want to suggest? The Avos were called the Yesharim. Yosher is the practice of truth. MS is the truth on paper. The fact is the mitzius, the reality of truth. Torah is MS. Torah is MS. Yosher is the practice of Torah. The practice of that. Maybe we can suggest that's the difference between the two. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Bikesh Kohelis Nosan Libo V'chozar Aladovar U'mitza'o. Bikesh means he applied himself. V'chozar Aladovar. And he again applied himself. Implying Rashi seems to over here say that the word Bikesh is not once, but Sheva Pamim Yibol Tzadik V'kam. A Tzadik, he falls down many times, but the Koyach of a Tzadik is to pick himself up after every time he falls. So that's what it seems like. Bikesh means you don't give up. You're able to overcome the difficulties until you succeed, until you find. Divrei Chayfetz. So Rashi here deviates from the similar interpretation and right away and he says the more Midrashic approach. Chayfetz is halacha leMoshe miSinai. That's an amazing idea. We never came across such a concept. Chayfetz, words of chayfetz, of desire. Halacha leMoshe miSinai. It's not something you can find in the Torah. There, in fact, sometimes there's even not even a remez to a halacha leMoshe miSinai. It's not even an asmachta. It's pure halacha leMoshe miSinai. And this is something of chayfetz, something of desire. The chos of Yosher. Yosher is ze Torah. Shek b'chsav v'hanevim. Yosher is what's written in Torah Shebichsav. And Divrei Emes, Rashi does not comment. So maybe Rashi would, Divrei Emes would be Torah Shebal Peh. You'll tell him, but Torah Shebal Peh really is an outgrowth of Divrei Chayfetz. Maybe it's that, but then Rashi didn't say Torah Shebal Peh. Is Torah Shebal Peh synonymous with Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Maybe yeah, maybe not. Okay, but this is how Rashi interprets the Pasuk. Let's take a look at the Targum, Pasuk Yud. The Targum says, "Bo Shlomo Malka, Shlomo, the king, who demiskerei Kohelis again for the third time." Rashi keeps making that point. The Targum keeps on making the point that Kohelis is none other than Shlomo HaMelech, who is called Kohelis b'chochmasei lemeidan dinin. He wanted to know halacha based upon he wanted to judge people based upon the thoughts of their heart without testimony. Now here is a the Targum is drawing from a Medrash that Shlomo HaMelech wanted to judge based upon his perception, not based upon evidence. And in fact, this is one of the midos of the Melech HaMashiach. Mireach Vodan. The Melech HaMashiach in Sefer Yeshayah is described as a person that can smell the din. A person comes in front of him. What?
Right, because smell is related to Midas HaDin.
Why?
We've done this before.
It sounds like a morale.
It's there, but it's not only there.
It sounds like a morale. The Ketores on Yom Kippurim. Obviously, in Yom Kippurim, you makted the Ketores lefnai v'lefim. By Yorach es reich begodav. He smelled the reich begodav. He said it smells like the tapuchim. Kereich hasoda. On Yom Kippurim, you bring the Ketores lefnai v'lefim. Yom Kippurim is day of din. But still, what is Sureyach have to do with them? I mean, obviously, there are a lot of connections. It requires more depth to understand the depth. Okay, it's an interesting idea. But over here, he's saying that the Melech HaMashiach and Sefer Yeshayah is described as a person that's Mereach. Isn't it this week's Haftarah? It could be it's this week's Haftarah. Pela Yoitz, this week's Haftarah. No?
Pela Yoitz is in Yisro.
Yisro? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so it's not down the sleep. But the Melech HaMashiach can have the koyach to judge without testimony. Without. Shlomo HaMelech wanted to be the Melech HaMashiach. That is a fact. And that's why he married all of these women, because he wanted to form a political alliance with all of the nations of the world. They all should be meshubah to him. And he can thereby bring them tachas kanfei hashchina, bring Mashiach. And part of being the melech HaMashiach is you're able to judge meriach v'don based upon the sense of smell. Smell does not mean literally smell. It means your perception of what is going on. Sometimes you know, have a rotten apple. Every person to some degree has the koyach. You know, I don't have the evidence, but I know something smells rotten. I know who is guilty, who is innocent. Every parent probably knows when something happens at home, you know who did it without having evidence. That's what the Targum says Shlomo wanted to do. He wanted lemeidan dinin al harihurei liba de nasha uvelos so hadin, and therefore that's what he wanted. Bikesh kohelis limso divrei chayfetz, to find the conclusion of the halacha based upon divrei chayfetz. Chayfetz here we're loosely translating based upon whatever he wanted, whatever his heart told him whatever his heart told him, innocent, guilty, that's what he wanted to decide. However, what happened? The Targum goes further and says a baskel came forth from heaven. Bechein is amar le beruach nevuah min kodem Hashem, a baskel that was told to him directly from Kadosh Baruch Hu through prophecy kodem Hashem, ha-kevar ichte b'sfar. You're not Mashiach. Let's not get carried away over here. Shlomo HaMelech, Mashiach is not here. You're not Mashiach. And it says in the Torah, Al Yidohi de Moshe, through the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rab Hon de Yishol, the teacher of Klal Yishol, Piskamin Toknin, he wrote down laws, Dvarim, which are Toknim, is the translation of Yosharim, Umehemnin, and faithful. Al meimar concerning sahadaya yakum piskama al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. You only can decide halacha based upon testimony, based upon what it says in the Torah, yosher and divrei emes. The yosher and divrei emes were things that were brought down to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rabban shall call Yisrael, and even you, Shlomo HaMelech, are not above the law. You're not allowed to paskin based upon your understanding. So we have over here a third interpretation. We already three interpretations, paskin with Sudos, Rashi, and now the third interpretation, he wanted to paskin based upon his heart, based upon his senses. Hashem came and said to him, don't you dare. It says, v'chosh of Yosha Divrei Emes, it says there's a Torah that was given by Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the Torah there are laws, and you have to follow those rules and regulations, whether you like it or not, and you have no right. And what was the Havanina that he can be different? Because this is a midah which is given to the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach, to some degree we learn here, is outside of the system of judgment that's written in the Torah. That's a very, very difficult thing to grasp, because Ein, the Torah is not to be exchanged. It's one of the animamins. Animamins is shaloi tehera Torah zos muchlefes, v'loi tehe Torah cheres. One of the animamins is that when Mashiach comes, Torah will never be exchanged. And if the laws of Torah are that you have to have al pishnayim edim yakum davar, what gives the Melech HaMashiach the right, the ability to decide halacha based upon circumstantial evidence, based upon his own senses? I don't know the answer. That's a very difficult question, but reality is that's what it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, and Shlomo HaMelech felt that he was royal lekach, and Hashem said, "Not yet, we're not holding there yet." Yeah,
but he did.
Oh, so you're asking the question, the famous case of the baby, the case that the Torah mentions when the baby was brought. The two women
that's
were finding
an example of
that, but that's cited. See, one thing is you tell me all of the various midrashim. You'll go and you'll quote, you'll pile up books of midrashim where Shlomo decided things on his own. Okay, but that's those things you could always answer. They're not to be taken literally. That when he decided on his own, the people ultimately confessed. So it was according to halacha. But the case that's recorded in Sefer Melachim does not tell us that the women they were maida. You have to study in more detail. But it is problematic. There are are you saying there are cases where he did judge alone, and it would seem that he judged without, he did this, he actually did this, and here in the Koheles Hashem is telling him you're not allowed to do this? So how do we reconcile the various midrashim, especially the situation where the baby was born in front of him, the two of them were fighting, and he said split the baby? What do you mean split the baby? That's not the halacha. That's, there's no testimony for this, you know. Okay, so it is something which requires further bear. I do not know. Okay, now let's and before we continue, okay, so we have I know I'm forgetting something. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. I don't remember. We'll go to the next pasuk. Oh, wait, no. Now I think I now remember. Okay, so there are indeed a collection of midrashim of what it means, the divrei chayfetz. One of the commentators says it refers to the Yemos HaMashiach.
Right.
He wanted to know the Ketz Hayomin, the Ketz, the end of days. He wanted to know, that is called the divrei chayfetz. That's something, why is it called divrei chayfetz? It's something that every living creature has yearned to know. It's the true translation of Divrei Chayfetz. Everyone, when will Mashiach come? Mashiach coming really represents the solution to all your problems. Isn't that the way most of us look at it? We look at Mashiach, forget about the big picture, Klal Yisrael, the Shekhinah, every person has different problems. No person is free from their difficulties, their struggles, and when Mashiach comes, that's going to bring a solution to the problem. That's the Divrei Chayfetz. And Hashem said to him, "V'chos of Yosha Divrei Emes." Hashem said to him, "What is the Divrei Emes?" It says the pasuk in Shia. You have to go to Shia Shirim, right. when it says.
Into
Iruv, into Oru, es ha'ahava ad she'techpatz. Same exact word. Techpots. Don't try to arouse. Don't try to arouse and to bring before its time Mashiach until Shetechpots, and when Mashiach wants. So here you have a play on the word. Shetechpots. Shetechpots means the same Sharish as Chayfetz. So these two psukim parallel one another. It's a very unique idea when you're taking a pasuk from Koheles and you're matching with a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, even though Koheles was written at the end of his life, and Shir HaShirim was written in the beginning of his life, and in the beginning of his life he came to the realization that there's no way you can bring Mashiach before its time. I mean, whatever that means exactly. We do tshuva, but there's no time that you can force Mashiach to come. Ad shetechpatz into oru eso ahava. Do not try to arouse the love of Hashem to be Mashiach until Hashem wants. And here it says, nevertheless, at the end of his life, still, Bigesh Koheles Limso Divrei Chayfetz. He still had that yearning.
He calls this knowledge of the Ketz Hashem's Chayfetz.
Hashem's Chayfetz. But how do we know Chayfetz is Mashiach? Because he himself used that word in Shir HaShirim to allude to Mashiach will only come when Hashem, Ad Shetechpatz, when Hashem wants it to come. So it's a play on the word. I think there's a very powerful limud Musar here, because the pasuk that Im to Oiru, Esu'ava, Ad Shetechpatz was said in the beginning of his life. So already in the beginning of his life, he knew, that's it, it's over. Don't even bother. You cannot force Mashiach to come if the generation, if the world is not ready. So a person would come to the conclusion, it's a done deal. Put it out of your mind. Now, fast forward, Shlomo lived to the age of 52, fast forward, whatever, 52 years, whenever the distance between, let's say he wrote it when he was 1 year old, just make believe, and now, so it's it. 52 years ago, 51 years ago, I already came to the conclusion that it's an impossibility. You're not going to find the solution, so why bother thinking about it? It still bothered him. It still bothered him to his dying day. Bikesh Koheles Limso Divrei Chayfetz. Even though he knew that it cannot come before its time, that did not hold him back from still yearning for it to come. That really explains very much, in a nutshell, why we say in the Animamim, Animam Emunah Shemaviyas HaMashiach, Av Bishayis Maneya, im kol zachakelo b'chol yom sheyavo. And yet many Gedolei Yisrael were very realistic and they said, Mashiach's not coming anytime soon. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said this. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, at the end of his life, he said, Mashiach's not coming in my lifetime. Oh, but it says, yeah, is it not Epicurus to say such a thing, right? There's a yearning, but there's a degree of being realistic that the way things are proceeding, al derech hateva, the world is just not ready. We're not holding there. And you see this exactly between the lines in the difference between the connection the Medrash is making between the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim and the Pasuk in Koheles. They both use the word chefetz. They both refer to Yemos HaMashiach. And Shir HaShirim, he said, it's not going to come into Oiru Eso Ahava Atshe Techpats. But yet, at the end of his life, on his dying day, he's still saying, Bikesh Koheles Limso Divrei Chefetz. I still want Mashiach to come. I'm still yearning for it to come at any single moment. So the two go together. It's not a contradiction to have that yearning. Maybe, yeah, it can happen. It's got to be a solution. And being realistic is, are we Roy Lekach? Are we ready for Mashiach? Are we prepared? So this is a very interesting idea. Okay, now there's another very popular long medrash which I didn't really delve into, but this pasuk refers to the Para Aduma. The Divrei Chefetz is a code word for understanding the dilemma, the paradox of Para Aduma. How could it be, in general, how does it work? Taking a para, burning it, and applying its ash with some mixture of water is going to purify a person who is tummy from contamination with the dead, and the person that is involved in making the preparations and purifying someone else, he who was tohar in the beginning, he becomes tummy. How could it possibly be that the one that is involved in preparing the Para Aduma and administering the water to the one that's tummy, he becomes tameh, and the one that's tummy becomes tar? This is something, a dilemma which we've not understood. Only Moshe Rabbeinu knew it. Only Moshe Rabbeinu understood the mystery of the Para Aduma. But Shlomo, this was where he was lacking. Bikesh Koheles Limso Devei Chefetz, to understand the Para Aduma. And Hashem said to him, And Hashem said to him, the chos of Yosher, Divrei Emes, it's written in Chani Sheichum Sheitara by Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the one that transmitted the Para Aduma. Only he knows it, and no one else will know the great secret. Para Aduma is Mashiach.
The fact that Para Aduma and the
Kades
are both unknowables.
Okay. The two ideas go, they're totally zemezeh.
Follow through for both.
If you know the secret of Para Aduma, you're suggesting you'll know when Mashiach is coming.
I'm saying both are unknowable.
Both are unknowable. But maybe there is something true to that. If since both are unknowable, they're part of a set, they're part of a club. So maybe if you happen to know the secret of the Para Aduma, you'll know the secret too. The coming of Mashiach, right? Maybe.
Did Rabbeinu know the secret of coming Mashiach?
Did Moshe know? Possibly he did, because Moshe gave the brachas for Zayis Habracha in Hazinu. Did he know? Hazinu, in Shiras Hazinu lies all the mysteries of the world. Seemingly in Hazinu there are many references to Yemos HaMashiach. And in Zayis Habracha, the brachas also that he gave Klal Yisrael, there's also references. So did Moshe Rabbeinu, did he know? Maybe there's a chazal that says Beferish one way or another. I don't know. But I'm willing to bet he did.
Which even though there was a reason, he was not showing it.
Yeah.
And then chayfetz, the department that he didn't know the reason.
And the chayfetz are the things that did not know the reason. Okay, so there are things which he knew the reason for. You connecting these two psukim. Okay, look, if I'm not mistaken, there are people that in history that did know when Mashiach will come. And the main concern that the Torah and Chazal had was you're not allowed to tell. There are people I think there are some stories that were able to figure out. Well, Yaakov Avinu didn't know, right? The Shechina, he was, exactly. He knew, he wanted to tell his children, and the Shechina departed. It was a sin that he should not reveal it to his children. But if I'm not mistaken, there are different stories. The Gedolei Yisrael that did figure out, Minei, what does it say in Sefer Daniel that says the calculation, those Sukkim in Sefer Daniel is where it's hidden the remez to a Mashiach will come. And the person on a very high spiritual level, he's given the gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's revealed to him when Mashiach will come. It's just, he's warned, don't tell the secret to anyone else.
Yeah. And as we learn, those dates have come and gone.
No, not necessarily. The dates that were revealed, the dates that were revealed have come and gone.
What I'm saying is that they may have been able to figure out
potential times, right. That's a discussion. That the time is right. It's an ace misugal. Time is right. If we have to just prepare ourselves to ready to receive it. Unfortunately.
Said the greatest gift to Klal Yisrael was that we were never revealed when Mashiach will come.
Because
anytime there was an ace tzara throughout the Holocaust, everybody had that hope Mashiach is going to come.
Right. That's what kept us through the tzara. Within the Yayish. The hope that Mashiach will come is what kept us, gave us the courage to the koyach to go through the tzara. The tzara. It's an idea.
Come at a specific time, and that time comes and goes, that's even more devastating.
It's an idea, but I don't know if everyone would agree with that idea. Because the Rachmanu, some people in their personal lives have very difficult problems. And you don't see them holding on that Mashiach's going to come, it's going to get me through the tzara.
Right.
I don't see that. Maybe the Klal Yisrael is a big, it's different. As a whole, Holocaust and personal tzaras, maybe people, they don't see that Mashiach is going to, that they're yearning. I don't know. It's an idea. It's a very powerful idea you're saying. Okay, let's just begin the next pasuk very briefly. Divrei Chachamim, this is a very, very complex pasuk, and a lot of discussion on this pasuk. Divrei Chachamim ki do rivonos. The words of the Chacham are like an axe goad. An axe goad is a prod. A prod which is a stick. It's a piece of wood which often would have sharp points on the tip. And when you want to move your animal along, you want to push the animal to get from one location to the other, you prick it. You prick it with this stick, and it causes the animal to move from one location to another. They use this in slaughterhouses. In slaughterhouses, they want to move the animals from place to place in order to get it ready to do shechita, so they move the animal along. Today, they have electric prods. Today, you can look on a video online, you can see they use electric prods. And so that's what they use today. But in ancient times, they just used a regular stick, and the tip of the stick, there was a point. There was a sharp point, and it was used either to move animals, or mainly, I think, what it says here is when the animals would plow. You have oxen that would be pulling a plow, and you want to make sure the furrow is straight. So oxen have a tendency to go off the derech. They veer from the straight path. In order to keep the row perfectly straight, you stand there, you guide it with your prod, and make sure you keep it straight. So here the Kohelet says, the words of the Chacham are like Kedor Rivonos. All of the Takonas Chazal, all of the Maimori Chazal, they're all to keep us on the straight and narrow. A person has a tendency, Hashem has made man Yashar, Vehim Bikshu Chishvonos, Rabim. It's a passage we had in the beginning of Kohelet. Hashem made a person to have a to go straight, but people have a tendency to veer off the path. They need to always be put back in line to keep them on the straight and narrow. And the words of Chazal are designed in order to keep the person on the road, just like what the Darvain does to the animal that's walking down the furrow. Another thing, Uchemas Miros Nituim. Another thing that Chazal have done. Their words are also like a nail that is planted in the surface into which it has been inserted. Now, the word nituim is not the expected word that we would expect. We would think it should be kimas meros kovuim. or something similar, like a nail that's kavua, that has been inserted into a piece of wood. The word netu means planted. So we're going to see in a few moments, or maybe tomorrow, we're going to see that we're trying to give the nail the image of a tree that's planted, to give it the mylois of a tree. But this, in a very similar level, it means that the words of the Chachamim are firmly rooted, are firmly entrenched in a source. Ba'alei asupos. Now this can mean one of two things. Either it means that the nail is not like a typical nail where you bang and you don't see the head. Some nails, they have a bulb on the top of the nail. The top of the nail is very wide, so it comes above the surface, and that gives a person the ability to pull it out if he so wishes. Like a peg. You have a peg for a tent. When the tent is pitched, then the peg is thrust into the ground. But when you want to move the tent to a new location, you don't have to go and go dig underground to remove the nail. You're able to take the handle of the nail, the top of the peg, and you pull it out. So it's called a masmeros. It's a nail, nituim, that's planted, which is ba'alei asupos, which has on the tip, has a bulb, has a large handle which you're able to move and to move the nail. Nitinu, all of the words of Chazal are given me'ro'echa from one shepherd. In other words, even though you'll find that there are chacham, we start with chachamim and we have many chachamim. You can have 70 chachamim debating a matter in the Sanhedrin, or you'll have a mishnayis. You'll have many different tanaim and amarayim that are fighting over a halachic issue. But all of the words of the Chacham are rooted in one shepherd. Who is the shepherd? So it's machlekes in the commentators. Some say it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and some say it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Roye Echad, is the one shepherd. Okay, let's just see the title. As the shepherd. Moshe is the shepherd. Let's do the mitzvahs and we'll stop. The mitzvahs of Pasuk Yid Aleph says, Divrei Chachamim, ki divrei Chachamim hema kidarvanos, they're like kidarvanos. What is it? Like a darvan, like a goat, a prat. Ma darban mechavenes haparo letalmei hasadeh. It guides the paro along the furrows of the field. Kach divrei Chachamim mechavenes haadam ledarkei hachochma. The words of the Chacham, they guide a person along the straight and narrow path of wisdom. Uchemas miros nituim. The words of the Chacham are like nails that are planted. Now what does that mean? Divrei balei asupos heim. Now, first of all, he's jumping to this next words of the pasuk. The next words are the Baalei Asupos. When I translated the pasuk, I explained it according to Rashi's interpretation, that the nail has a handle on top. But according to the Mitzvot, the word Asupos means it's a description of the Chachamim. The Chachamim are Milaktim. They're collectors. They collect words of their predecessors and organize it into one location. Anthologies. They are people who create or author or compose anthologies of their predecessors. Balei Asufos, Divrei Balei Asufos, the words of the Balei Asufos, the collectors. Heim Hamalaktim, they are the ones. Hamalaktim Misfarim Shainim, they collect from other books. Vichabru Nechabris, and they compose anthologies. Hema Devodim, all of the words of the anthologies are Heim, what is really the Talmud? What is the Mishnah? The Mishnah, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it's an anthology. That's what it is. He collected select statements from various Tanoim and composed and compiled them into the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. What is the Talmud? The Talmud is an anthology. It's an anthology of various explanations of the Mishnayos. So that's why the Mishnah is an anthology. The Talmud is an anthology. Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, is an anthology to some degree, and Shulchan Aruch is an anthology. Everything is an anthology. So we're calling the Chum. They are called the Baalei Asufos. Hey, I'm locked in Mitzvah. Mashanim Michabu Michabris. They compose anthologies. Hema dvarim kavum. These words are dvarim kavum kimismar. They're like a nail hakavua that is thrust the makom techivaso into the location where it's put. The od hema. Now here is the reason why it says the word nituim. The mitzvah is coming to answer the question: why does it say nituim, not the word kavuim? Because it blossoms. A nail is a lifeless creature, object, an inanimate object. It does not grow, but the words of Torah, they blossom. The od hema parim veravim ki ilu hayinutum aretz. Ratzel leimar devreim kayamim. Their words exist forever. They last forever. The od yuchal lachacham loitzi mehem tam rabim. You can derive from it many other things. You can compare and use it as a source to understand many other matters. Nitnu meiroy echad. Even though when you'll study the anthologies, you'll discover that there's a great divergence of opinion on any single matter. Two Jews in a room, there are at least three opinions. Yet, you should know, kulam amitim, they're all MS. Why? Ki chachmas kulam nidnu, min, they're all been given min, hu hamokoim baruchu, hachoinen la'odam do'as. The Mitzudas is clear as day, he translates the royeh, as the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Roi Loi Echsar Bin Estesha Yarbi Tzeni. Not like what the Medrash says that the Roya is Moshe Rabbeinu, the Roya Neman. Okay, Lefi Shadimas Adam LeBehema. Why are we comparing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a shepherd? Because the pasuk begins by comparing man to an animal. Animal needs to be guided along the furrow with the prod. Therefore, when we want to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we compare him to a shepherd. We need prods. The one that's malamed, the guides them. Okay, there's a lot more on this pasuk. We'll be there tomorrow.